It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship, and I apologize for the delay this morning, but God is good. We are going to go right into our scripture, which says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Also, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now for our opening prayer. I will have our prayer this morning. Father in heaven, bless us as we worship you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We honor you. We extol you. You are worthy of all majesty and praise. And so, Lord, we come before you with surrendered hearts, asking you to take us and use us today and bless this worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening song is "It's About Time for the Coming of Christ."
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about
Amen. the gospel in Hebrews chapter 7. This is worship. It's several verses, 28 verses. Okay, so we may not have time for the wellness segment, but it's such an important topic that I believe we should dwell on it. All right, my brothers and sisters, let's pray. Lord, bless us, and we bless you, and we thank you, and ask that you would send the Holy Spirit, as it says in John 16:13, to guide us into all truth, in Jesus' name. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now, we talked about this already, brothers and sisters, but I'll go ahead and read to you some things that we've already read. It says in Romans 4:3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham was in the new covenant, okay? People don't like to accept that, but the new covenant is called an everlasting covenant. It always was ever since there was Genesis 3:15. You see, Genesis 3:15 is an offer of salvation. When God pronounced sentence upon the serpent, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman is Galatians, according to Galatians 3, is Christ. So he was telling the serpent, but in the ears of Adam and Eve, that he would destroy the serpent, the works of the devil and the devil himself. That was a promise. That was a commitment that God had made. So he was offering the covenant in those words to Adam and Eve. The Bible says God gave the covenant to Noah. The Bible says God gave the covenant to Abraham, okay, and to Isaac and Jacob. It wasn't until the children of Israel coming out of Egypt that God gave the Ten Commandments. He gave them other laws. But that doesn't mean those laws did not exist, my brothers and sisters, or that the Ten Commandments did not exist, or that the Sabbath did not exist. The Bible tells us of the Sabbath in Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So God actually rested on and sanctified. That means he made holy the seventh day of the week. And when was that done? That was done, my brothers and sisters, in Genesis, right after the creation. There is not a single verse in the Bible where the sanctity, that sanctification of the Sabbath, was changed. Before Sinai, before God gave the covenant to them at Sinai, the Sabbath was still in force, which means it doesn't have its beginning with the covenant given to the children of Israel. You see, most people mess up when they deal with this covenant issue. God really only gave one covenant. The covenant doesn't begin at a certain point with Israel. It's just that he was letting them know it because they didn't know it. He was just announcing it. It was already in existence. He was announcing it to them. Okay, so he gave it to them. That doesn't mean it didn't pre-exist them. It's just that, hey, I'm offering it to you. Okay? But God's covenant, if you go to the book of Genesis, and we'll read it a little later, but in chapter 26 of Genesis, we'll be reading to you how Abraham kept God's commandments and his laws and his statutes. So these things predated the covenant. Therefore, they're part of the new covenant because Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham had the new covenant because that's what we have to do. We have to believe God. But when you believe God, that doesn't mean you don't obey God. That just means you believe everything that he said, but you're doing it by faith. You're doing it by your belief. You're doing it, I am righteous by faith. That's what the Bible says. I believe that God forgave me of my sin, or if I sin again and I ask forgiveness, he will forgive me. I believe that also that he said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's 1 John 5:4. I believe that what God said in Matthew 1:21 is true. It says, and ye shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, not in their sin, from their sin. We are delivered from sin. The gospel offers deliverance from sin. That means the gospel offers the power to obey. That's part of the gospel. To refuse it is to refuse the gospel. Nobody's going to be saved if they refuse the gospel. So what has been happening is people have watered down the gospel and just made it a gospel of pardon, not a gospel of power. I don't want a gospel that only forgives me and I can't overcome. If I serve a God who made the mountains, the seas, the rivers, and the trees, and he can't even get rid of pride in my heart, he's not powerful enough to get rid of lust in my heart, he's not powerful enough to get rid of anger in my heart and the temper in my heart, and evil speaking from my mouth. No. That's not the God that I serve, my brothers and sisters. He is all powerful. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, we read it already in another lesson, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. My brothers and sisters, God's word is powerful, and he can give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, just want to share that with you, and that Abraham kept all of God's commandments, okay? So we want to start with that as we understand this wonderful chapter. Okay, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that king of Salem, which is king of peace. Let's talk about tithing. Brothers and sisters, some people say we don't have to tithe anymore. There's no tithing mentioned in the New Testament. Well, guess what? They are basically saying that the tithing system is part of the Old Covenant. Well, the Old Covenant started when God offered that to them. Prior to that, the New Covenant, which is the Everlasting Covenant, was already there. A covenant is an agreement. Now, you have to offer the agreement. If I want to sell you my house and say, listen, I heard you want to buy a house, I'm offering you my house. So I'm offering you a contract, okay? He's offering them the covenant. But the covenant has to be accepted. And so the children of Israel accepted the covenant based on their own strength. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And then they worshiped the golden calf after that. And so they broke the covenant, you see. But that doesn't mean that the offer is not there. Remember, the offer predated them. But it's called the Old Covenant because after they did that, Moses actually took the blood of an animal and he ratified that covenant. The Bible is clear. A covenant has to be ratified by blood. Well, Jesus hadn't died yet. So the new covenant, the everlasting covenant, the one given to Abraham, the one given to Adam, to Noah, to all of humanity, that wasn't ratified to the blood of Jesus. So that's the only reason why it's called new. It's because it was ratified after the old was ratified, which when they accepted the covenant, it was ratified by blood. Jesus' covenant, the everlasting, was ratified by his death on Calvary. They didn't have to say anything. They should have said, praise God. You know, we accept. But they were dealing with righteousness by works. They hadn't understood that. So it was two covenants, you might say, coexisting. Nothing wrong with saying all that the Lord has spoken we will do. But if you're not realizing that you can't do it in your own strength, then you are basically having a different basis upon which you will fulfill the covenant. And so it was different. That's all the old covenant was, my friends. It was based on faulty promises that we will read about. Not God's promises. It was their promises. God doesn't make faulty promises, friends. God's word is true, and his word stands forever. He does not lie. The Bible says it in the book of Numbers. It says it also I forgot where it else, but it says, God who cannot lie, he can't lie. So the point being made is, I love that because, you know, we have a faulty system here. Do you know police officers are allowed to use deception? That means they're allowed to lie to get you to try to investigate the truth. God doesn't have to lie to investigate the truth. Every time a police officer lies to you, that lie is registered against their name in the books of heaven. If I was a police officer, they might not like me on the force because I will not lie. Because with the help of God, I can tell you the truth to get the truth. I don't have to lie to you. But they lie all the time, and they deceive people. And it's for that reason that you're not required to talk to them because they are allowed to use deception, so you don't have to say anything to them. In most situations. This is not a lesson. I'm not an anti-police officer type thing, but I'm just telling you how the laws work. You know, when you study the laws and you understand them, a police officer just can't see you and say, hey, what is your name? You can say, officer, I don't answer questions. Unless you're suspected of a crime, unless you're detained, you don't have to answer. You can simply say, am I free to go? Am I being detained? If they say, hey, I just want to talk to you, then you can walk away. If you ask them, am I detained? Am I free to go? You can go. So the bottom line is that God's laws are so much healthier and lovely because he doesn't lie, but man lies to get the truth, okay? Going back to the tithe issue, we see here that tithing predated the Old Covenant. Okay, so if it predated the Old Covenant, then the Old Covenant, when the Old Covenant is no longer in force, it cannot end it. Just like the Sabbath predated the Old Covenant. Therefore, when the Old Covenant would be no longer in force, which would be at the death of Christ, then the Sabbath is still binding, friends. People have all kind of ways that they twist the scriptures to try to say that it's not, but it is. Okay, so tithing is still in force, my brothers and sisters, and it is a wonderful system, and you will be blessed. Let me read it to you. I'm going to Malachi. So some of you who wonder why things aren't going well for you, if you go to, let's see, wait a minute. No, that's not the right one. Okay. That's interesting. Thought I knew exactly where that was. Okay. Give me a second. I thought it was Malachi 3. Maybe it's 4. Yep, Malachi 3:10. I just missed it. All right. Notice what it says in the Bible. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, prior to that, it says, will a man rob God? In verse 8, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with the curse. So when we don't pay tithes and offerings, we are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation, it says. And then it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So God is basically saying, if you are paying your tithes and offerings, you will be protected from the devourer, okay? You'll be protected from the devourer. Now, you might say, well, but I'm still struggling. Yes, but you're not being devoured, okay? He will rebuke the devourer. And maybe there's some things God is taking you through, some lessons to be learned, some challenges he wants you to surmount, some management he wants you to, better management that he wants to teach us. But the bottom line is tithing is still part of God's plan. Now, you will have it. So I want to bring out something here. Most churches who teach that the Sabbath is not binding will tell you that tithing still is because they want to get more money for the pastor, okay? So the reality is the basis upon which they say that tithing is still, there's no command in the New Testament to tithe. But yet at the same time, Jesus in the New Testament said several things. He said Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath day. It tells us that if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, then it identifies that law in the book of James as being the one that, that says you can't fornicate, you can't, you know, kill, so on and so forth. That's the Ten Commandments. So the Bible is very clear. The Ten Commandments are still binding, but you won't actually find an actual thou shalt pay tithe in the New Testament. And some people, because they don't see that in Matthew through Malachi, Matthew through Revelation, they say it's not binding. And I'm going to tell you something. They don't have the devourer rebuked in their life. And so, my brothers and sisters, let's talk about another error. Some people believe that all the tithes must go to what is sometimes called the regular line, the large church, the conference. Okay? The purpose of tithe is to have meat in his house, okay? Give me a second here. I'm going to share a scripture with you from John 4:34. What is meat? The purpose of tithe, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat. John 4:34, it says, this is Jesus talking, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So those specifically called to ministry, brothers and sisters, that includes medical missionary work, for Jesus was a medical missionary, but we should be opening the word also to people, then that is allows one to be receiving of tithes, okay? So that is God's plan. That is how he did it. That's how the work is finished. There are people called to make sure that spirituality in the church is high. And that is not just men, that can be women also. And as we give for return, really, those tithes and offerings, then God's work moves forward. And there are people in place to teach, to preach, to minister on a practical level to us as the need arises. That's God's original plan, my friend, that we can't, you can't improve upon it. So, highly recommend that if you are not and the devourer is not rebuked, that you consider tithing. And so that is an important point that needs to be understood. Some would say you're only supposed to pay tithe to the conference. That's just a selfish move on the conference's part because they want all the money to come to them, but yet they are not careful to uphold the spiritual principles that God has given to us in the Bible. And that's an important point, friend. The purpose of it will be to finish his work. Okay, God's work's not being finished if we lower the standard on LGBT issues like the world is. The work's not being finished when we deny the health message, when there is a health crisis in the world and say that everybody's got to go that direction and put toxins in their body. The work's not finished. That's compromise, my friends. That's leading us to what has been inevitably predicted in the first selected messages. First selected messages 204, where it says eventually storm and tempest is going to sweep away that structure. The work that is finished will be finished by people, and we can finish God's work with God's help. All right, let's read on verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. This is talking about Melchizedek, and we already read this to you. I'll read it again. It says, it was Christ who spoke through Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek was not Christ, but he was the voice of God in the world, the representative of the Father, and through the generations of the past, Christ has spoken. That's First Selected Messages, page 409. Now, what I want to say is that one of our mothers in Israel mentioned that she heard or saw a statement about the fact that Ellen White mentioned that he was the Holy Spirit. From everything I've gathered, she did say that, but it was not written. Someone was transcribing a sermon she wrote, and that's where we have it. So I don't know that she wrote it, but she said it, and it was a sermon that was, you know, somebody was taking notes as she was speaking. So that's what I believe. I don't think you're going to, for those of you who wanted to find the statement, you might not be able to find it. That statement is from one of the other pioneers who had transcribed a message that she had spoken. So that being said, just understanding he had no beginning, he has no end, he has no father or mother. It wouldn't be Jesus because Jesus he identifies the Father as his Father, although he is from everlasting. But the Holy Spirit would not necessarily be in a position of lineage, like a father-son type thing. It could only be the Holy Spirit just by process of deduction. Now consider how great this man was. Verse 4, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil, and verily they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Okay? So Melchizedek, God is building a case here that there's a priesthood that's not an Aaronic priesthood, a priesthood from Aaron, the Levitical priesthood, but it's a Melchizedek priesthood, and that's who Christ is basing his priesthood on. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that promised. Verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, and of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Okay? For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore, and see, this is what it's saying, see, the Levitical priesthood, which will be part of the old covenant, he was part of the loins of Abraham, you see. So, again, the Bible is giving us the hint. The new covenant was actually before the old covenant. It's just that when God gave the new covenant to the people, they added something to the covenant, making it a separate covenant. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And then blood was shed. And so it was considered two separate covenants. But both of them had the Ten Commandments, and they had other laws, too, that they had to keep. You see, we're supposed to keep the Ten Commandments, brothers and sisters, but we're supposed to do everything God has said. So you can't say, oh, well, God told me to speak today, but I'm not going to speak because it's not in the Ten Commandments. Well, the Ten Commandments does encompass everything, but it may not be expressly written. Thou shalt have no other gods. You know, gods are worship. That means if you worship them, you must obey. The Bible tells us in is it Matthew 8? You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. So anything, if we worship God, we would obey him. Friends, that's who God is. He is to be obeyed. And so those who choose not to obey God, they are really breaking God's commandments. Okay. Verse 9. As I may say so, Levi also, who received a tithe, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of Abraham his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there of any other priesthood, that any other priesthood should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made a change of the law. So people read this and think, okay, see, we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments because we're not under the Levitical priesthood, okay? All right, but watch this. Abraham was not under the Levitical priesthood, but notice what it says of him in Genesis 26:5. because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Genesis 26:5. So my brothers and sisters, yes, there's a change in the priesthood. The priesthood had what we call ordinances, okay? And let's read that in Colossians chapter 2. As we go to Colossians 2 and we look at verse 14, blotting out, it tells us what changed in the law. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, if you read that on the surface, you would think it even mentioned the Sabbath. It didn't say Sabbath day, though. It said Sabbath days. You see, if in the Levitical priesthood, when you kept the Passover, that was a ceremonial Sabbath, okay? When you kept the Day of Atonement, the Day of Pentecost, those were ceremonial Sabbaths. Okay, and they were Sabbaths that pointed forward. So they were shadows. You see the shadow of my hand on my shirt, those on Facebook. So even if my hand wasn't in the picture, you see the movement of my hand in the shadow right there. You see it? You see it, but you can't see my hand. It's a shadow of things to come, okay? So the bottom line is all of those pointed forward to some aspect of Christ's great ministry, his ministry on earth and his ministry in heaven. And so they were shadows of good things to come. And God says, once Christ died on Calvary and it was guaranteed that he would be able to fulfill every aspect of his ministry, the requirement to keep those feasts with the blood and all of those things, that was done away with. Okay, it was contrary to us. Anyone who wants to be spilling blood all the time, you know, and even the requirement to spill blood on a daily basis, they had all kinds of sacrifices that pointed forward to Christ to keep them in remembrance and out of idolatry. They were constantly thinking about the blood and the lamb. That's what it was, friends. But at the same time, it was a sacrifice, a literal sacrifice in that a lamb was killed, but it was a sacrifice to have to kill him. We don't have to do that anymore because Christ the Lamb has died on Calvary. So let's read this verse again with that understanding, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. The Sabbath is not an ordinance, my brothers and sisters. The Passover was an ordinance. Pentecost was an ordinance. Just like we have ordinances today, city ordinances, but you have state laws and you have federal laws. The same is with God. He has different types of laws, of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. You see, the Passover had a meat offering. The Passover had, or in drink, they had a drink offering. Or in respect of an holy day, there was a certain day out of the year. This is not the weekly Sabbath that points backward to creation. This is a ceremonial Sabbath annually pointing forward. The Passover to the cross, pointing forward to the cross. Or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, plural, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. There is no shadowy element of the Sabbath. Now, a lot of people in that verse we read a few days ago try to say that, oh, it's pointing forward to entering into his rest. They were always able to enter into his rest. Adam was in Christ's rest before sin. Anybody that has righteousness by faith, Abraham, entered into that rest. Noah was in that rest, my brothers and sisters. Anybody who has right doing by faith is in the rest. So that verse does not make the Sabbath a shadowy event pointing to the future, futuristic. It's still commemorative, okay? God was just using the Sabbath as an example because God stopped all of his works to rest on the Sabbath. So God was using that as an analogy in that chapter in Hebrews to say that if for us to be saved, we have to stop our work and accept it by faith. That means that as we accept it by faith, faith does the work, but we're not saved by work. It was just an analogy, my brothers and sisters, of God, not even of man, and how he ended, you know, stopped working and rested. So God is not telling us, when it says, don't let anybody judge you in meat or in drink, that it's okay to just consume alcohol and eat unclean meat. It was talking about the meat offerings that go along with those ceremonial Sabbaths, okay? They had holy days. They were based on the moon, new moons, and that's how they counted it, and the Sabbath days. And it says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ, okay? You can also find this in, that was in Colossians, I believe Ephesians chapter 2 also. It's easy to remember because both of them are around chapter 2 and verse 14 to 15, okay? So this is Ephesians 2, and this is verse 15. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, okay? All right, so the bottom line is the change of the law that we read about in Hebrews chapter 7, okay, is not a removal of the Ten Commandments. It is a change in the Levitical priesthood, taking away the ordinances that go along with that priesthood and that aspect. It was not the Ten Commandments. The Bible was specific. It specifically told us what was changed, okay? All right. Let's see where we were in Hebrews chapter 7. Let's see. Okay, verse 13. We already read verse 12, which says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change in the law. And so now we're in verse 13 rather. For he whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far from evident, and yet it is far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Remember, we read what was changed. It was not the Ten Commandments. It was the ordinances. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests. You see, he's surety. He's the earnest money, you might say. That's what surety is. He's the earnest money of a better covenant. He's the promise that a better covenant is available to us. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Okay? I like that. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the angels, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then for the people, for he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated evermore. So my brothers and sisters, Christ is our great high priest. That's what Hebrews 7 is telling us. And he's telling the Hebrew people that the Levitical priesthood at that time was no longer valid in God's eyes, and that we have now a high priest which cannot be which can be touched. We don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are. That's what we read in Hebrews 4:15. That means we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So my brothers and sisters, we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb because Christ overcame by the power of his Father through the Holy Spirit. So my brothers and sisters, it's time now to go ahead and close out. If there is anyone that would like to share anything, ask any question, feel free to do so. We will be going through our roll call and opening up the phone lines. We just won't have our wellness segment for the day. Father, bless us today. Thank you very much for teaching us truth. Thank you very much for Jesus who died on the cross to save us. We thank you very much for the power he'll give us today on this April 2nd. And we ask that your name, not ours, will be glorified in our lives today. Help us to accomplish much ministry for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. How can we help you today, brothers and sisters? We have representation from Ohio. We have representation from Maryland, from Delaware, again. If that third person from Delaware who's relatively new, I would love to speak with you. We would love to speak with you. If you can remember that the number 706, if you get a call from a 706 area code, it might not necessarily be a prank call or a sales call. It might be from me. I'd like to talk to you just to say hello and meet you today. So that will be the person from Delaware. Moving on in our roll call, we have Ohio. We have, and we need to speak with our sister from Iowa. Maybe that can happen today by the grace of God. And we have Georgia. We have South Carolina on the line. So anyone would like to share anything, ask any questions, prayer requests. It doesn't even have to be a question about the topic today. Just whatever's on your heart, please press *6. We'd love to hear from you, and may the Lord bless you. So the phone lines are open. It's time for sharing and caring. And while we're doing that, I'd like to mention, I don't have a copy with me for Facebook, but it's downstairs. Maybe I'll go get it real quickly. Hold on a second. I'm holding in my hand a book, 322-page book. It's full of poetry. It's called The Biblical Booster, Boosting the Immunity of Our Global Community. It actually shows some things that will probably be a little disturbing to some, in that some of the people who participated in a particular clinical trial, one out of 40 passed away within 90 days. We have that data in the Biblical Booster. That's not conspiracy theory. I'm not going to mention what it was or who it was. You'll have to get the book. But it's full of poetry. It has lots of pictures. It has lots of QR codes. And it offers a booster that comes from the Bible to build our immune system. Friends, we do have a caller. We still are in, although it's not the worst part of a pandemic. But I'm here to tell you there are more of them coming. It has been determined by both the Trump administration and now the Biden administration, although we knew it a long time ago, this was created in a laboratory. It's man-made. And there are others that are created also in that lab, according to Senator Rand Paul, who said they had viruses that could kill 50% of the population. So we need the Biblical Booster. If you like a copy of this book, you can still take advantage of the special price. It's $60, but if you go to biblicalbooster.org and you put in Torso 15, you'll get it for $45, okay? $15 off. So may you be blessed as you do that. Full of color, friends. It's well worth that and more. We're going to go to the phones at this time. Good morning, Sid.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. I'm requesting a special prayer for the sick and those who are grieving. They've lost loved ones. And that's my request this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that request. What a wonderful request. Yes, my brothers and sisters, Jesus, when he was on this earth, he comforted the sorrowful. He gave healing to the sick. Excuse me. And we want to pray for the sick and those who have lost loved ones. Let me say this about having lost a loved one, if that's you. The beautiful thing is this. We're so close to the second coming. Excuse me. We're so close to the second coming that it's not going to be that long. If your relative died in Christ. Okay? So that brings me some comfort to know that I lost a loved one, particularly one that was in Christ. It won't be too long before I see him again. All right, friends. Anyone else? Getting a little hiccups here. Excuse me. All right, friends. All right. We'll go ahead and have our closing prayer at this time. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for the power. Thank you for giving direction. Thank you for guiding us. We ask that you would be with us now today, that the Holy Spirit will fill us, use us, that we will be instruments of blessing to the world. We ask that you would help us to have obedience characterizing our lives. And we thank you so much because you only ask us to obey you because disobedience hurts us. I pray, Lord, that you would be with the request to heal, that the sick will be healed if it is your perfect will, if not comforted. And then comfort, Lord, they that mourn. As you promised, you said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And although that refers to the repentant, we know that you do comfort because you care. Bless us now this day, this new week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Want to mention that we will be having wellness retreats this year, several of them. One a month. And when we post the schedule, it'll probably start in May. We do have one in April, and the individual is coming with a relative that is going to be helping. But then after that, in May, we don't have anyone for May. And June and July, and so on and so forth. If you know anyone that is sick that needs to come to be healed in a wellness retreat in a lovely setting that where the Holy Spirit dwells, please let us know. Contact us. We'd like to schedule them in. May God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you peace. Our flagship website is torso.org. TORSOE.org. We do post these worship and wellness broadcasts at TORWM.org. That's TORWM.org. And we also have biblicalbooster.org for the Biblical Booster campaign. Like to mention before we close out, you would like to support Torso Ministries with donations, with tithes, with offering, you can do so. You can write to us at P.O. Box 208, Curtisville, Pennsylvania. That's Post Office Box 208, Curtisville, Pennsylvania, 15032. Also, you can go to our website and put a donation in the donate button using your PayPal or credit or debit, or you can simply call on the phone, or we can keep a debit card on file and with your instructions deduct a certain amount when you tell us to. We keep it in an encrypted system so nobody can get to it, and those are just some ways that you can support. We also have Zelle and Cash App, Venmo. So if you'd like to support using those, the money gets transferred to the ministry, and you'll still get in all of these, whichever way you choose to support the ministry, you'll get a tax receipt in early January of the following year for tax purposes. All right. God bless you. Thank you for, you might say, joining us today. And those two people, the one in our dear sister in Iowa and also the dear person in Delaware, look for a call from us today just to say hello and get acquainted from a 706 number. God bless you. Closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord. Prior to that, we simply give you our final salutation. It says, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now undreamed of. Happy Sunday, and God bless you.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord.
Do you know?